Life is a snap. Okay, fantastic.
I'm glad you closed those because you were taunting me with those palm trees and the promise of warmth that has not arrived yet here in the Pine Tree State.
Oh no, well, I understand that I pine for the Pine Tree State, and I'm really grateful that we got together on this.
That's wonderful to talk with you again. I want to begin by asking about the tour of Japan that you went on, and you were kind enough to send me the reviews, and my gosh, they were fabulous. A classic of popular music, sophisticated, rich, and humorous. It doesn't get much better than that.
No, well, it didn't cost much, the dollar being what it is with the yen today. But I'm not saying that there's anything corrupted about the way they see me as a voice of America, as much as we see, hear the roar from DC and the executive branch. I wanted to assure the Japanese that, that my musical efforts endure, and I've survived a dozen presidencies and easily, and it's so consequential, the office, and I just think that it is important to anyone of any artistic, incalculably occupying force, called the arts. Anyone in the arts has a challenge, and that is to disengage in disgust or get involved and to try to bring nuance. And like Phil Oakes, the great singer, once said, in times, in such ugly times, the only true protest is beauty. And I try to make things real beautiful in my music. By the way, I understand that we met, didn't we meet on an issue involving sports? Was it about sports?
It may have been.
Didn't we understand that my cousin was in the Pittsburgh Steelers, number 60,
Yes.
Harry Dunn, with
That's
whom I've
correct.
had contact recently? And I'm 82, Horace. I have no idea what he is doing, but I communicated to him, and amazing. I wanted to also tell you about this, and here's what my son brought to me: Dodger
Oh.
Blue Dream. This is my son's podcast. You can hear it anywhere, like with where you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitchers, whatever. I am so delighted my son has an obsession with America's pastime. Amazing to me. Richard was always the saving grace, and he had a pitching arm. It was a matter of alarm to all of his friends. He was always an amazing event in the big deal in Little League, and it just this obsession just carried him on to the convergence of interest in Japanese concerning Ohtani's son and all of this big baseball stuff.
Right.
Big deal. So it turns out the Yankee, I'm thinking Yankee dog thinking, we invented this thing. This is ours. And they've had this since, I think, Meiji era. I don't know what exactly it means, but I do know that in the 1880s, Japan was thoroughly engaged in baseball. And so anyway, I just got this amazed. So Richard and I went to Japan together, did the concert. He's a brilliant mandolinist. I've never heard anybody conquer, slay such dragons. I mean, as the guy's all over the place, everything my rude awakenings insist. We really had a ball playing at 8 concerts in Japan.
I was thinking about this, Van Dyke. Is there anyone else, maybe Aaron Copland, who has tried to tell the history of America through music the way you have for decades now?
Well, I've always felt that I must do something to work, to do something with the music, with whatever musical ability I had. I had no idea that I was a muralist, that I had big ideas. I didn't think I'd set the world on fire, but I knew that I had a great and an unquenchable thirst for music. And it was my family from way back. Sousa's 60 silver trumpets. It was like the Parkses had over 40 people in a band once in Parks Township up there on the edge of the mighty Kiskaminitus River in Pennsylvania. So dig it. It was just the music we had. We hid our saxophones in the attic. We hid them. Okay, the ones my dad had for his dance band back in the Dick Parks and his White Swan Serenaders at the White Swan Hotel in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. That was my dad's group, and that's how he saw his way through medical school in the Depression. And he introduced me to Artie Shaw, it's a great clarinetist and stuff. And my dad was a fine musician, and he and my mother could jitterbug in the living room where we had two nested pianos, grand pianos. Music has been the stuff of my best hopes and worst fears in terms of what it demands, but it proves some beautiful truths, and you know, like not all that can be counted does, etc.
Years ago, you told us a wonderful story, and I wonder if you could share it again. The story of when you were a young man in New Jersey, and you went to sing for Professor Einstein, and if I remember the story correctly, he ended up accompanying you?
Well, I was with three or four other boys. There would have to be four of us, but I know only two that live that were there. That are still alive, corroborative force, Travis Bryant and Oliver Andes, and Stephen Bryant. Travis is gone, but amazing, event to be in a boy choir where we were in a kitchen with Einstein, and we have a professor, the choir master, Mr. Bryant, my son Richard, the famous mandolinist, I'm telling you. Listen, you ain't got Scarlatti. Like, we have so many beautiful plans. Richard was playing, he had a mandolin strapped to his back when he was busking in southern France. They missed their bus and met some Brazilian. Five Brazilians accosted them, and he wrote the Brazilian man wrote down the samba. We played Richard and I played it in Tokyo to the amazement of these Japanese people. You know, the fact is, you know, you don't get to hemi demi semi quavers with the fast notes with the stuff that darts around on a mandolin. Easily in E flat is an anathema, you know, to a mandolinist. It's not fun.
Well, and I know from my guitar player friends will tell me the mandolin is one of the tougher instruments to master.
No. I'm serious, not kid stuff. I'm happy. I'm so happy I could be with him on this great adventure. And don't forget this Dodger Blue Dream, big podcast. So decorated, and because he's about ready to do another for iHeartRadio, with co-host Wesley Avila, a guy who did Cordon Bleu. He's just real good. And they did a book together called Gorilla Tacos. And amazing. Richard, of course. He'd filmed the war tribunals of Cambodia, of the war crimes, with two and a half million people killed because they sang songs of the nation. They sang songs and danced, and they knew things, they knew stuff, and so they were killed because of what they knew. And it was a cultural war.
Is that
It was
during the
gen
days of the Khmer Rouge?
That's it. So the point is, that's what the suppression of thought has come to. I'm amazed. I have, darn it, I was going to tell you, I have regard for a couple of things. Can we range freely and share with you what I shared with the Japanese?
Please do, absolutely.
It's important to me that we think about what are some of the consequences of our political undoings. Now, it's amazing to me. I brought to their attention Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the to me my favorite contemporary American poet of my life. Now I'm 82. Beat poetry drew me to California. There was Lawrence. Have we discussed this?
We have discussed it, in an earlier conversation, yes.
But the recent discovery of Pity the Nation, a recent contribution from a nonagenarian. Okay, not messing around. You at the back of the class, not messing
Now,
around.
funny you should mention that because I kept a copy in my 30 plus years of teaching public school. I kept a copy of Pity the Nation on the wall above my desk.
Now look at you. I want to talk about how we agree. Now I think that you got to re really try to evaluate. Agreement is a wonderful thing. And I am so I am admire the work that you do because it has such pedagogical appeal. You know, I'm digging it. A kind of a Pharaonic line. What do we represent? We represent a literary force when we're teaching. We got to remember stuff. I'm amazed by what you do, and at the the retentive value that it punctu that he that it punctuates, and it is wonderful. I have attempted to teach, but you've really got to have the powers of articulation. I kind of hide behind the vagaries of music and hope that I'll get away with it. And we get at the same point. I really do.
We lost, didn't we lose Lawrence Ferlinghetti not long ago, right?
Oh,
Within
yeah. I want to tell you, though, that something is so I underscored his Coney Island of the mind, but there would sooner or later I would have to have a reckoning. So I wrote via City Lights Bookstore to Mr. Ferlinghetti, and because I wanted to know what would he expect of me monetarily, what should happen if I should if there should be some monetary gain in a recording of my narrating his poem with a string quartet that I had devised. And he said to me, I would expect that it would be 50-50, that I would split the profits with you. So 50-50. This from this man is unheard of. Now this is the real distinction. of a guy who's really pissed off about things, but he's an Italian. And you know, at the end of the whole situation, you're going to get a good meal. Okay? It's a good thing. And remember a whole meal, maybe a wine that you can't remember, but something divine. And yeah, whereas like with the other beats, the Ginsberg, that's a vector, you see, he's also beat, and he's also pissed off, but he's German, and that's ugly, baby. When those Germans get pissed off, nobody's done no time for lachen and singing. But
Did you? Well, no, I'm trying to remember when you were at
oh,
Warner Brothers.
this is my son. He's a man who's he's an artist. He don't look back. I don't
By the
think
way, I have to thank you, Van Dyke, for getting us together with a wonderful guest. You suggested him a couple of years ago, and we have had him on twice, and he is so insightful and wonderful to talk with, your friend Joe Henry.
Oh, just wonderful, man.
Well, I thank you for suggesting him to us now that he's a Maine resident.
Oh, it's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful man. But I told you about my so, and it doesn't sound like much to anybody else, but they offered me a show in Japan. I said, would you like to come to the, and I got an email from some agent in London, said, he didn't say, is this guy still alive? He said, is he still doing stuff? Well, in this presidential environment, yes, I'm doing stuff. And without hesitation, I si se puede, I can do it. So, because I read Pity the Nation, and I have an absolute sense of urgency. Today, he took the estoppel and slammed it into the Voice of America further, withdrawing funds from public radio. Kid, I'm telling you, this is a very dangerous event. To me, I am not an alarmist. I'm a son of the American Revolution. I can prove it. I descend from a private. There, he was help there to help win the Battle of Pittsburgh under General Stuart. And this is fun. I like to talk about stuff that's all grown up. Adult entertainment appeals to me. I don't have time for the other stuff. I'm 82, for Pete's sake. And but I'm just but I know that the Japanese wrote back. They said, please come. We'd like you to do more shows. If you sure I could go and do a show in Japan. I'd do a big star in Japan. You big star. Okay, I'll come over. I do got a lot of money. There's a comma on the check. Big comma. Okay. Gotta tell you. We've been a really wonderful event. So, sure, all right, I'll do one. And you go over there, and no sooner than to go over there, they slam you back, and you're just in a state of complete confusion for 180 on everything. Up is down, and whoa. Everything ends in a vowel. Everything ends in a vowel. I don't know which vowel. So if you go O A, it's you could be in the wrong town. So anyway,
What I'm curious, Van Dyke, what do they make of America as they look from their perspective and see what's happening?
what do they think of America? Oh, they are absolutely astonished by the gullibility of the American people. The gullibility of the American people. It's astonishing to see how this clown has fooled everyone in the arena. Laughable stupidity of its crude design. Astonished by the sense of retribution to this childish behavior. They can't believe it, honest to God. I'm telling you, I went over there and I knew I went over there because I am, because I'm an American, and I wanted them to be able to appreciate that there were other people such as I who watched this happen and are going to start spitting at the sun to get this thing, and pissing in the ocean to get this thing to get this thing done, to bring you see, when the lights go up, the crime goes down. And we're watching the evaporation of evidence, and we're watching this stuff go. We're losing transparencies and so forth. And to me, it is important then to bring agitation for the purpose of detergency and claw at the wound and the person who perpetuated it.
Sunlight is a great disinfectant, isn't it?
You got it there. That's the fact. And this man needs to be examined. And I believe truth is beauty. Was that Emerson or Percy Bysshe Shelley? One of those guys. My first fear is about environmental issues. Were from my childhood. And when Nixon created the Environmental Protection Agency, I had great hopes for the continued protection of life and its intricacy and beauty and variety, as it was when I came to Earth, that I would leave the hope that I would leave this life as beautiful as I had found it would be to me okay. It would be adequate, and I would have had a joyful time in it. But they are denuding this. Who gives a damn? Well, I do, because I've been thoroughly engaged against big oil since 1969, and the big when the big oil smeared the face of Santa Barbara. Okay, and the pictures are very not good. So I went and I went and I'm not a birder, but I do have I am awestruck by flight. Okay, since be way back, Da Vinci, all of these guys. You look at the pictures, oi, such a deal. Anyway, I'm serious. So, we have adult entertainment being thrown at our children through the miscreations of the man that square in the Oval Office, and that is a fact. And so I had to go and decry the monotony and ubiquity of the atrocities being thrown at the economy by the clown in charge.
Well said, as always, Van Dyke. It is so good to get your perspective on things, and so great to connect with you once again. As always, I so appreciate you making time for us.
Well, listen, it's just wonderful to think that that first of all, that you are so topically relevant in the work you're doing that defines Maine. And believe me, I am an eternally tough distance from a reasonable clam stand. And so, listen, I just miss you guys, and I really thank you for bringing it all back to mind. I worked up there, you see, back in 64, we were a rebellious group called the Brandywine Singers.
Right.
New Hampshire, guy, New Hampshire, New Hamsters. Hey, listen, Rich, you're just the greatest, and your work astounds me. You know my email
I
address.
do indeed.
I have a whole brand new card. It's written in Japanese, and it apologizes. You know the card, don't you?
No.
I would like to show you my daughter, in whose home I am now. She suggested that I have a card. And what the card would do would apologize.
Mr. Van Dyke Parks apologizes for his behavior and sincerely regrets any damage or inconvenience he may have caused. And it's in Japanese as well. That is fabulous.
Hey guys, let's be strong and praise God for our diversities and always find it agreeable company.
I
All
appreciate
right.
it. Be well. I wish you good health and better days for all of us ahead, my friend.
I love you. What an elastic, fantastic guy you are. I'll see you in the next reel.
Thank you, Van Dyke. Bye-bye now.